Let's turn together to Luke chapter 5, and we will read together verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, the verses 1 through 11. As we think about this text tonight, I would love to have you think about where are the miracles located in this text? And think about what Jesus might be calling you to, you and I, but what Jesus might be calling you to in terms of going deeper with him. One of the criticisms of the American church is that it's said to be 3,000 miles wide and an inch deep. And I wonder what our faith could look like if we hear Jesus calling us to go deeper with him. And as we think about that, let's pray and ask for the Spirit's lead as we read this text. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, open our lives to the ways in which you might be nudging us or summoning us or calling us more deeply. We pray for the courage to hear you, to be found by you, and to follow you. So as we read this text tonight, we pray for your Spirit to grace us, and we pray that your mercy will give us the safety and the security we need to follow you all the more. So bless our reading tonight, and bless us, and smile upon us, and call us into something new as we wait for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and they followed him. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So I grew up in a church culture, like many of you, I suspect, where many of us were taught that the essence of being a disciple of Jesus was believing in Jesus. When I think about my Sunday school teachers, and when I think about my pastors, and when I think about my Christian school teachers, they were all about teaching me to believe in Jesus. And they taught that well. And when they did so, they would talk about understanding Scripture, and they would talk about memorizing Scripture, and it was very important to believe the right things about who Jesus is and who Jesus was in the text. And it dawns on me that if this has been your experience too in terms of growing up, how challenging it can be to begin to grow up, whether that's in our teenage years or in our 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s or older, and thinking about a relationship with Jesus that is growing in such a way that the essence of our faith becomes not so much about believing the right stuff, but about becoming his followers. Becoming his followers who don't just heed his teaching, but want to go where he goes, who feel nudges inside of us to follow in his footsteps and to choose mentors and teachers in our lives who don't just teach the right stuff, but who live in such a way that model what discipleship, what followership is all about. And when I read this text, I'm convicted all over again by some of my own upbringing, which was very much about believing the right things. And as I'm in middle age or whatever this time I find myself in, I'm discovering all over again that discipleship seems to be about so much more than that. It was so easy to believe the right things, but it's so hard to follow him for the right reasons. And it's so hard to follow him wherever he might go. And I look at these disciples who left everything they had, left everything behind. And I wonder if you have the same experience with the text that I do, and wonder, how much am I willing to give up to truly follow him? And not just a safe church, pastor, congregation answer where, well, it's everything, but to really think about what it really means to regularly leave everything behind and follow him. And then when I read the text, I wonder how often we do that. I wonder how often we put discipleship in that kind of category, in that kind of boat. Because truthfully, it's much easier, I think, for me and for some of us to sit by his teachings and to listen to them and to take them in and to do just what happens in that text and stop there. And then we have our Lord and Master say to Peter, let's go a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper, and let's not be content with what all the crowds got, but let's engage a little bit deeper in this relationship that is forming between you and I. And Peter, like some of us, has every reason in the world to say, well, I'm not so sure. Or Peter, in his exasperation with his work, says, could easily say, but Lord, all night long I've been exasperated with this and so unsuccessful. And the burdens of work are stacking up. I'm losing sleep at night. We're losing customers. And I wonder if he went through all of that in his own mind before he said, we've had zero success, but because you say so, okay. And stepping outside of the text tonight, I wonder where those places are for you and I, where we're tired, where we're fatigued, where it's been a dead end for us, and we think we've got a handle on what this discipleship business means. And Jesus says to you and to me, how about let's go a little deeper? What are those people relationships where Jesus seems to be saying to us, How about go a little bit deeper? Put yourself a little bit more at risk. You think this is a dead-end conversation, or you think you've tried this 150 times before and it's gone absolutely nowhere, and you've made up your mind that nothing's going to change, and experience has taught you that. But how about one more time? How about come a little deeper? You're only beginning to scratch the surface of what faith life is because you are a person of ritual and habit and routine, and Jesus comes into our lives and gets in the boat with us and reminds us that it's anything but routine. It's anything but just mere habit, but it's about something else. It's about trust. And I'm astonished with Peter, who says, "Well, because you say so, I'll do it." When we were raising our kids, one of my favorite and least favorite parts about kids is whenever you tell them to do something, what do they say? They always say, "Why? Why?" And not wanting to squelch the curiosity of our kids, well, maybe not most of the time, but most of the time, not wanting to squelch the curiosity of our kids, we didn't want to stop them from saying why, but we also wanted them to comply. So we taught them to say, "Yes, Dad, why?" Or, "Yes, Mom, why?" So that they were agreeing to what they were being asked or being told, but they also had some room for curiosity. In the text, I wonder if something like that is going on inside of Peter, where he's saying, "Yes, yes, yes, because I'm just going to trust that I don't see all of what you are saying is so important for me to learn or understand right now. Yes, but I can't get my mind around this. Yes." And you know what? Maybe Peter doesn't feel like it. Maybe he's tired. Maybe there's a part of him that wants to be compliant and obedient. And in the end of that wrestling match, that internal wrestling match, he finds Jesus trustworthy. And maybe something about Jesus' depth is causing Peter to want to go deeper too, so that when Jesus says, "Go out into deeper water and put your nets down," Peter can't help but say, "Yes, yes." So where's the miracle tonight? Maybe the miracle's in all those fish that filled and swamped boats that almost sunk. But maybe the miracle is in the yes. Maybe it's the miracle of faith. Maybe it's the miracle of following, from moving from one who's content to sit around the teaching to a willingness, that movement, small or great, to go deeper. Hearing the summons of the God who calls us into waters that are uncertain for us, that are maybe uncharted, or maybe we feel over our head. Maybe this new neighbor, or this new relationship, or this new boss, or this new coworker is way beyond what we would feel comfortable with, and the same Lord who's calling Peter to go deeper is calling you and I to go a little bit deeper. Wait a minute, I've tried all of these other exercises, these good words, these attempts, and do you know how many times I've put myself out there in ways that are uncomfortable and uncertain? But because you say so, because you say so, I'm hearing a summons to go deeper. And who knows when I do, Who knows when I do, what miracles will come, not because I said yes, but because the same God is at work, capitalizing on every opportunity, every nugget of faith, every moment, every morsel, inviting you and I to let go of our certainties, our certitude, all of our places of need for security, and he's calling us into something else where maybe we're being asked to take off the life jacket or life preserver or give up the navigation that helps us know exactly where we are or what we really want. We really want to know where we are going. Where is this heading? If I say yes to this, what will this mean for me tonight? And he may not tell us. Because the invitation to go deeper is to trust more deeply and to trust that the miracles are going to come along the way. That will be another sign of his presence right there in the boat. And I wonder what ways in which he's even right now wanting to grow us, because in every encounter we have with him, we have the Peter-like response of when something happens that's beyond our planning or our control, we can have the same response that Peter does. Woe is me, I'm a sinful man. Oh, I should have trusted you. I should have said yes to you so much earlier. Because wherever you do your work, there's more and more miracles, and it's not about my following. It's about your power at work. So I think about this a little bit. I think about what it must have been like. What it must have been like for a guy who works with his hands. You know, he probably had calloused hands and maybe cuts and maybe rugged. You know, I wonder if these fishermen are missing parts of fingers. And I wonder what it's like to move from a world where it's only about tasks of maintaining the boat and maintaining the nets and maintaining the business to now, Peter, the real summons for you is to work with people. That's a different gift set. And Peter is going to say, and all these other fishermen are going to say, we do fish. We do boats. We do sails. We do lures. We do all of this stuff that doesn't require people skills and speaking. And we're not in touch with emotional intelligence. What we're very task-oriented. We're very check-the-box driven. And now Jesus is asking for something else. And what do these guys do? But they let go of everything. And they step into uncertainty, and they step into the deep waters of not knowing who or what or where. And they say, I'm going to trust you. I read this text this week, and I'm so grateful for the faith of my grandparents and parents and teachers who have passed along some wonderful life lessons. But as I look back, it's not what they have taught, but it's what they've caused me to catch. And they weren't wrong. But as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, I hear that summons, that invitation to go deeper, no matter how weary or tired or finished we think we are in the walk of faith, because we are held safe and secure for all of eternity because of the saving work of Jesus. I hear him summoning us. out of that safety into security and security into something more risky for us. Not risking our salvation, but risking our sensibilities, risking what is comfortable for us, risking what we had already put a period where God is putting a dot, 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 because with his grace and mercy, with a world in need, who knows? Who knows? So to me, believing the gospel put a period on my faith life, where now I'm thinking about believing the gospel and following our Lord makes for more dot, 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 and a life of listening attentively to the call of Jesus, who keeps calling us and drawing us and asking us to set the boats by the shore, leave everything and follow him. And in every moment where we are tempted to be afraid, we hear the voice of Jesus who says, "Don't be afraid." And the "don't be afraid" is because I am with you. I am with you in every moment of that. I'm with you on the boat when you're over your head, when you're in places of deep risk. I am with you. And that, to me, is the miracle of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, your presence can show up at work. It can show up in new relationships. It can move us to different places of woe and awe in our lives. And we pray that you would give us the freedom to look for you and to hear you and to respond with a trusting yes. Yes to your summons, yes to your call. And we pray with all the uncertainty that comes with that, that you would help us to hear your promise, "Do not be afraid." Remind us that you are with us wherever we go, and we pray that you would give us the courage to follow wherever you lead. We pray this in the power of the Spirit you have left us, the one who comforts us and the one who sends us. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand and let's confess our faith together. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed, the ancient confession of faith of the church, trusting in God the Father, Son, and Spirit. Let each one say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen."